Right, Proverbs 4, Miss Jan picked the last song, The Haven of Rest. That's where I'm heading. How about you? Be a good day when we get there, won't it? He knoweth the end of each path that I take. I kind of gave the Sunday school teachers a little bit of a sneak peek this morning to what God put on my heart. We were, many of you know, we took 10 out to Danville, /Harrodsburg, Kentucky there yesterday. And Brother Mark was driving us that morning, got started at 6 a.m. And we got down Cumberland Gap, went through the tunnel, and just marveled at how God helped Daniel Boone through that mountain with that tunnel. It was amazing. Anyway. But we got through that, and we went on over to Interstate 75 there at Corbin. We got on 75, and I said, well, here, let me pull up the directions to where we need to go on Siri. And so we pulled it up there and, you know, got off the exit. We need to get some gas, got some gas and, you know, candies and stuff we didn't need, and got back on the road. And we're going up through there, and we're, you know, an intersection's coming up, and that phone says, continue straight. Okay. And I'm not kidding. 10 seconds later, continue straight. Gotcha. You know. A few seconds later, continue straight. And I looked at Brother Mark and I said, there's a sermon in that. And then the phone said it again, continue straight. And God's like, yeah, there is. And I thought about that all day. We spent almost 10 hours on the road. And got home, the Lord just flooded my heart with this message. And so I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. And the title is, Continue Straight. Amen. Proverbs 4, verse 23, Bible says this. Familiar verse, Proverbs 4, 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray tonight and ask God to help us. Father, we love you. It's been such a blessing to hear the voices of your people lifted in praise tonight. And I trust that you are pleased, Lord, as you sat on your throne in glory. I pray, Lord, there's a sweet smelling savor that came up from Spring City Baptist Church tonight. And Lord, I pray it continue to burn in your nostrils and please you and put a smile on your face. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder to just continue straight. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Help us to ponder the path of our feet, God. Just be reminded tonight of these oh so simple truths that we often forget. We love you. We want you to guide us. We want you to direct us. We are acknowledging you, Lord, and we trust that you're going to direct our path. We sure love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those directions from the phone are helpful. How many of you use that function on your cell phone when you're out? Look at that. About everybody in here. We were talking about, you know, back in the day you had to have an almanac, right? had to have a map or some sort to get you where you need to go. And it's convenient to have that. In my truck, I've got one of those little cup holders that holds your phone there, you know, hands-free driving. But I'll put those directions in places I got to go, and it just directs you right there. And if you follow it, you'll get there. As long as two things happen. Number one, you put the address in correctly. And number two, you don't think you know better. And I'm telling you, sometimes in life, we don't get the address in right. And so we might follow some directions, but we end up somewhere we never thought we'd be. And then other times, as God's direction system tries to direct us, we say, I know better. What's the famous phrase? I know a shortcut. Church, there's no shortcuts with God. You got to follow the directions. Continue straight. Continue straight. This, I call this passage here in Proverbs 4, God's positioning system for His children. Just very quickly, let's look at this, and then we'll go look at a few examples and be done tonight. Here in verse 23, familiar verse, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God has told us that you and I need guidance in the issues in our life. We need guidance in the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in. And He says to keep our heart with all diligence because that's where we're going to make the decisions. When decisions arise and have to be made, our heart is going to direct our path most times. And so God says, keep that with all diligence. Keep it clean. Keep it right with God. Keep it in tune with God. Amen. Verse 24, He says, put away from thee a froward mouth. In other words, there's some things that God says on this path of life that we're on that we need to stay away from. And He says to stay away from a froward mouth. It's not a forward mouth, that's a froward mouth. What's that mean? A froward mouth is one that turns people from doing right. Interesting. So God says, as you are on your path and continuing straight, amen, as he tells us to do on that straight and narrow, He says, there's going to be some people that are going to start talking to you to try to get you to turn. He said, you better put that away from you. Don't listen to them. And He goes on to say, and perverse lips put far from thee. That word perverse means cross, or I like this English word, peevish. Right, that's a good word. It means distorted from truth. And so God says, as you're on this path of life, there's going to be people with froward mouths and perverse lips. And He said, you need to put those away from you so it doesn't turn you off the path that you're on. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. We've quoted it a lot here in the last little bit, but Hebrews tells us we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. We're to be looking to Him, and He's our guidepost. He's the light. Amen. He's the direction we're supposed to be headed. Look straight ahead. Verse 26. Excellent advice. Excellent advice. I was teaching Levi and Gideon this morning in Sunday school about meditation. I was encouraging two teenage young men to learn how to meditate on the things of God. I wonder how many of us do that. How many of you get quiet for a time? I'm not going to put a time frame on. A time during the day and just think about the day. Think about what God showed you in His Word that morning. Think about the principles of the Word of God that you've had to deal with that day and you've had to put into practice. How many of us actually sit down and get quiet and still and just think about that? I'm telling you, it's an excellent exercise. And God says, ponder the path of thy feet. It'd be good for all of us to sit down at the end of each day and say, all right, Lord, what did I do today? Did any of it please you? Where did I go? What did I do? Be good to think about that. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. And then 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. That means we are to continue straight. Amen? Continue straight. Remove thy foot from evil. I know this, as we were driving out there, once we got through the gap there, and really I guess down in Lee County, but especially through the gap, not out through there, we just don't see that country very often. Brother Mark's talking about he drives, for Carter going to those generator sites, and so he sees Castlewood and Coburn and Norton and Big Stone, and even Jonesville, I think maybe once or twice. He sees those places fairly regularly. I don't see them that often, maybe once or twice a year or every 2 years. And as we're going, man, you just start looking around because you don't see that very often, do you? And we got on out there on the interstate and got up there and put the tent up, and we were, we swung by a City Barbecue on the way home. Slightly out of the way. But it was to go buy a set of tires for my truck. So, it's, I told somebody, I said, if you don't hook a Craigslist deal into one of these things, man, it's a wasted trip. But anyway, so we went to City Barbecue, and I'm telling you, from Danville to Lexington is some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen in my life. Huge horse farms, huge estates. And we're just, I'm looking, I'm driving at this point. And Brother Mark's phone, that lady's talking to us, but I'm not hearing it because I'm distracted. While driving, it's easy to become distracted in our mind. It's easy to get our eyes off the way we're supposed to be. But we got to continue straight. While living, it's easy to get distracted sometimes, isn't it? We start looking around. Maybe I've never been here before. We start looking at things and getting our eyes off of where it's supposed to be, focused on the Lord and focused on His Word. It's easy to get distracted. And so when that voice comes on, continue straight. Oh, okay, guidance. Multiple times I had to ask Brother Mark. We'd be talking about stuff and looking at stuff, and I'd hear that voice come on. I'd say, what'd she say? Where am I supposed to go? What exit am I looking for? And if we're not careful in our lives, we'll get so distracted that a message will come forth at church or over the radio or you'll be reading. Anybody ever done this besides me? You read the three chapters a day and you say, what did I just read? What did God just say? What did you just say, Lord? Be careful. Be careful. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. All right. Numbers 20 tonight. I believe this was the first message that I preached after Valerie and I moved back to this area from Charlottesville. It's the first message I preached underneath the tent. Brother Alltop was here that night, I remember, and I preached on the King's Highway. Anybody happen to remember that? A few of you? All right. Hallelujah. Guys, that's like 11 years ago. That's pretty good. The King's Highway. I'm not going to go through all that tonight, but there's a principle here. There's a principle here. Now listen, there's a lot of roads out there. We took the route from here to Danville, Kentucky. We tried to take the nicest, best roads we could take going out there while towing that trailer. Number one, for safety. Number two, for just comfort of ride and efficiency. And so we try to take the best roads when we go places. If you put in an address in that phone and you can tell it to go the quickest way, or you can tell it to avoid tolls, right? Or you can tell, I think you might even be able to tell it to go a scenic way. I'm not sure. But in any case, usually what that thing's going to do is it's going to route you the quickest way. Now, I'm just going to tell you, God's way is not always the quickest way. In fact, He had a nation of people walk around in circles for 40 years. God's way is not always the quickest way, but God's way is always the best way. It's always the best road to take. Here in Numbers chapter 20, verse 14, Bible says this, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Now, if you know Edom, that's Esau. Remember Jacob and Esau? Okay, that's Edom is Esau. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, and he is, right? Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, He heard our voice and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us, I pray thee, let us pass, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields nor through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. Watch what Moses says to the king of Edom. We will go by the king's what? Highway. We'll go by the king's highway, and we will not turn to the right hand nor to the left. In other words, he said, we're going to continue straight through your property. Straight line through there on the king's highway. Everybody else travels it. We're going to go on the king's highway. He says, until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. The children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of the water, I'll pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. The summary of that message I preached 11 years ago was, we're going through a strange country here. Israel's going through enemy territory. And there is a highway through this territory. And they said, listen, we'll go right through on the king's highway. We won't turn to the right hand. We won't turn to the left hand. We'll go straight through. And the enemy said, no. You know, many times you and I in this world, in this world that's not our friend, not our home, we say, man, listen, we just want to go through not on President Obama's highway, not on the earthly king's highway. I just want to go through this life on King Jesus' highway. It is a highway. Amen. You know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, his highway is a higher standard. It's a higher standard. God expects more from his children. He does. It's a higher standard. We have more responsibility than the world's way. And I hope your desire is to go through this world, this strange place that we're in, as a born-again believer, that you'd like to go through it on King Jesus' highway. Because he is the way, amen, the truth and the life. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 both remind us there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we would look at this world and we say, listen, we just want to go through on King Jesus' highway. We don't want to turn to the right hand. We don't want to turn to the left hand. We don't want to just continue. We want to continue straight ahead and just pass on through and leave you guys alone. And that king of this world says, you ain't doing it. The God of this world says, you're not coming through here without a fight. It's the world we live in, church. I hope that you're on the King's highway. I hope you're on Jesus' way. You're walking after Him. You're following Him. But I'm telling you right now, the enemy of this world's not going to let you come through here without a fight. He's not going to let us just pass one right on through without a toll. Amen. He's going to try to stop us. This happens again, I believe, here in chapter 21. And it's over here in verse 21. Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. So they got around Edom. Finally, and they come to Sihon, he's a Gentile king. And they say, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn in the fields and the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past their borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness and came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Listen. I think most of us in here, I know you well enough to know this. We don't like confrontation. I can promise you, I hate confrontation. I don't go looking for it. I try to avoid it at all costs. But sometimes there's got to be confrontation. And as we're on the King's Highway going through this world that we live in, guys, there's going to be confrontation. There's going to be things happen. There's going to be people that don't want us to pass through easily. And you're just going to have to let God help. Because in both of these instances, the nation of Israel smote those enemies. God strengthened them and helped them. The Lord never said the path through this life would be easy. God never said traveling the King's Highway was going to be a glass smooth paved road in a luxury sports car. Sometimes we got trouble. Sometimes there's potholes. Sometimes there's big bumps in the road. And when all that stuff happens and all those distractions start going on around us, you know what God says? He whispers to your heart. Just continue straight. Just keep going. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 5. Just a little bit of an application here about Moses. Deuteronomy 5. Listen, if you and I have the right destination in our GPS, God's positioning system, that haven of rest, amen. If we got the right destination entered in, and we'll just listen to the directions that God gives us, we'll get there one day. We'll get there one day, okay? Deuteronomy 5:27. Now watch this. This is just fascinating. Deuteronomy 5:27. Go thou near, God talking to Moses, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us. This is the nation of Israel talking to Moses to go talk to God, okay? And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Nation of Israel said that to Moses. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, God talking to Moses now, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me. This is God's desire for Israel. And keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, talking to Moses, now watch this. Watch what God says. But as for thee, Moses, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Okay, time out. Look up here. Let's get what's going on. Where is the nation of Israel headed? The promised land, right? That's destination in the GPS. God, in a pillar of fire by day, or pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day, is leading them and guiding them, is he not? He's direct, through Moses and through Aaron and eventually through Joshua, he is guiding this nation to the destination. Okay? 32. Talking to Moses now. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Watch. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you. Watch. And that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. So God looks at Moses and says, Moses, I'm going to give you all these commandments, I'm going to give you all these statutes, and I want you to teach them to the people, and I want you to guide them along this path to the destination. Okay? And Moses did really good, except for the one time that he turned aside. He got out there and those people were murmuring. And he got on his face before God, and God said, I want you to go over there, and I want you to speak to that rock. It'll give you water. And Moses got up, and he walked over there, and you know the story. He was provoked in his spirit, and he spake unadvisedly, and he, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch water for you? And he smote the rock how many times? Twice. And God, in his mercy, let that water come out. But Moses paid a high price for that one, didn't he? You know what it was? He never made the destination. Moses thought he knew better. Moses thought he'd take matters into his own hands. And I'm telling you, church, as we're along this King's Highway and we're continuing straight in the way God's told us to go, if we're not careful, we're liable to wreck. Now, if you're saved and born again, we're going to heaven. Amen. We know that. But I'm talking about the plans that God has for you and I, the desires, the will of His life for our destination on this earth, where He wants us to arrive to. We may never get there. We may wreck along the way if we don't continue straight. Moses turned aside and disobeyed God, and it cost him dearly. All right. Sake of time, let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. If you're taking notes, we're also going to go to Joshua 1. We're familiar, 2 Samuel 2, we're familiar with Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The verse before that tells Joshua, turn not from the right hand nor to the left. Keep it straight, Joshua. Keep it straight, buddy. All right, 2 Samuel 2. This is right after Saul's death, and David is quickly making a rise to assume the kingdom. But he's got some issues here with Abner and some of Saul's family. But nonetheless, if you look here in 2 Samuel 2, verse 18, I talked about Moses. You know, Moses was really, he was a car wreck when he disobeyed God. He was a car wreck on that highway. 2 Samuel 2, verse 18, Bible says this, and there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel, and Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Asahel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died. And what's the next two words? Stood still. You ever been traveling on the interstate or something like that and go by an accident? Now, I understand they slow traffic down because, you know, you got emergency workers out there and all that kind of stuff. But have you ever watched what everybody does, including yourself, when you drive by? We call that rubbernecking. What was that? You know, man, listen, you know it's going to be bad, but you can't help but look. And here, Abner smites Asahel, and the people that are pursuing after Abner, trying to kill him, they come to where Asahel fell and was killed, and they stopped. In other words, they stopped doing what they were supposed to do. Now, hold that thought in mind. Let's go to chapter 20 of 2 Samuel. It's not the first time this has happened. Sorry, I told you 2 Samuel chapter 20. I knew I was going to say the word first and it got mixed up. 2 Samuel 20, this is now during Absalom's rebellion. If you look here in 2 Samuel 20 and verse 8, the Bible says this, 2 Samuel 28, when they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. How's that for concealed carry, guys? And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him there with the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground. Your society today couldn't handle that. Now watch what happens. And struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favoreth Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. Now watch verse 12. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but you pretty much see what that looks like. You talk about a mess. We can't even fathom the amount of blood that was shed during these battles with sword and spear. When the Bible says the blood at the Battle of Armageddon is going to flow to the horses' bridles, that's pretty graphic. And here's this guy that got stabbed and is disemboweled and he's sitting there wallowing in his blood in the middle of the road. And when the man, watch, 12, when the man saw that all the people, and the words are, stood still, he removed a mace out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. When he saw that everyone came by him, stood still. On this king's highway that we're on, church, from time to time, there's going to be some wrecks. And it may not be yours, it may be somebody else's. Another believer, another person, somebody, you're going to see some wrecks in people's lives. And unfortunately, from time to time, some of them are going to be so spectacularly awful that you will stand with your mouth open to the floor and you'll stand still. And just look at that. And I really believe God would have us get our eyes off of that and back onto Jesus Christ and continue straight. I'm not saying you don't be a help to somebody if you can. Listen, I've driven by some bad accidents in my days. All the miles that I've seen some bad things. I wish I hadn't looked. And have you been that way? I don't want to look over in a car and see a sheet covering a lump. I don't like driving by vehicles and the sheriff's deputy has opened the door and hung a sheet in there and closed the door so nobody can see in what's going on in that truck. You know, if I stopped at some of those really bad accidents where the paramedics were already there and the state trooper was already there and the sheriff's department's already there and the fire department's already there, you know what I would be? I'd be in the way. The professionals are already there and they're handling it. It would do nobody, in fact, it would complicate matters if I stopped and went over there and said, "What's going on? Can I help?" Brother Randy would look at me and say, "Get back in your vehicle and leave." Now, unless I'm a family member or something like that. And folks, sometimes on this King's Highway that we're on, we're going to see some spectacular wrecks. And if we're not careful, it'll stop us in our tracks. Listen. And we won't continue on for God. We'll just stand there and behold the carnage. And God says, "I need you to continue straight. There's nothing you can do for that situation." I said last Sunday night, some of us in this church, a lot of us in this church, we have huge hearts. You want to help people. You want to, just out of a genuine desire and heartfelt love, you want to help them. But the Bible also says that he that walketh by and meddleth with strife not belonging to him is like a man that taketh a dog by the ears. You know what happens when you do that? You're going to get bit. And you'll become part of the carnage instead of being able to continue on for Jesus Christ. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Continue straight, keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Amen? One foot in front of the other, step by step, day by day, walking by faith. Now, I'll say this as we close. I get out on the road, I get in a place that I don't know. I become, and probably you do too, I become very dependent upon my phone and the GPS in there, in Siri. And I will make every decision. I'll just follow what those directions are that come across that phone when I'm in a place I don't know anything about. And from time to time, you and I are going to get in places on this King's Highway that we don't know anything about. It's not familiar ground. It's taking us through somewhere we've never been before. Maybe it's a steep grade, either up or down. It could be curves ahead. It could be caution when wet. Right? It could be all those things. As much as we would trust those phones and those GPSs to get us where we need to go when we're not familiar with the area, my friends, should we not so much more trust that Bible in your lap to be the direction that we need when we're in places we've never been before? Should we not much the more trust God's Word? And I wonder, would we put more faith and what that phone would tell us instead of what that Bible tells us? If we would trust Siri, we ought to more so trust the Scriptures.